Welcome to Florida Bets, a condensed look at sports betting lines, totals, and props from your favorite teams around the state of Florida. And now, your hosts, Brandon Kravitz and Mike Tazzi. Yeah.
Quick move, made a money move. Got
it. Thinner slate than usual today because seasons have come to an end for Florida and Florida State. We'll have them in bowl season, but they will remain dormant until then. But UCF is in a conference title game, and all three in-state NFL teams are in action. So let's get to it. UCF +4 at Tulane, conference championship game. The line keeps moving. I think it was 2.5, +2.5 for UCF when it opened. So this tells us, and now it's +4. So it's only 1.5 of movement, but that's pretty significant. This tells us two things. One, sports bettors are becoming convinced that Plumlee's hamstring is an issue that either will slow him down or he just won't play. And this team is different, especially going up against Tulane without him, given what he did the first time they met. And two, they are taking the revenge spot for Tulane very seriously here. The last time these two teams met, UCF outgained Tulane on the ground by a significant margin, but Tulane was far superior through the air. Also, Tulane turned the ball over twice in that game that led to easy points for UCF. UCF turned the ball over zero times. We know that that is a highly volatile stat, so if that flips and Plumlee doesn't play, what does this game look like for UCF? I think that's where you land on Tulane being a worthy favorite in this spot. I still think UCF is the bet here, but I remain cautious.
Very. Yeah. I mean, Tulane's coming off a couple big wins over Cincinnati and SMU the week before that, where they put up 59 points. And as that first matchup between UCF and Tulane went on, Tulane started to figure out what they needed to do to put up points against UCF. Man, if Plumlee was healthy and wasn't dealing with the hammy, I'd be like, perfect spot to take UCF, because everybody's down on them after the way they played against Navy and how they nearly lost against South Florida. But they'll get up. I know they'll get up for this game. There's no reason not to, because of opponent, because of what it means. Love a Gus Malzahn UCF team in that spot. However, am concerned that there's going to be no JRP with a hamstring. It's going to be Keen. And
has that been officially reported yet?
Well, it hasn't been officially reported, but just figuring a speed guy with a hamstring, if he's playing, he's not going to be 100%. So that's even possibly worse than playing Mikey Keene.
Yeah, so I think that's a big factor here. I'm going to wait personally on, I'm sure that I'll lay something on this game. I think I'm going to take UCF, and I will take UCF with a more significant wager if Plumlee plays versus if he doesn't, just because I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. You clearly saw where UCF had the advantage against Tulane. It was running the football, and they're such a better running team when Plumlee's out there because of his rushing ability. He becomes the best runner on the team when he's out there. So it's such a weapon going up against a team that struggles to defend that area, which was clearly the case the last time they met. I think that sometimes it's matchup dependent, because I don't think either guy is a world beater between Keene and Plumlee.
But Plumlee did have his best game of the season, a memorable game in the eyes of UCF fans at Tulane. It was a statement game, and to not have him, like, I'm sure Tulane's looking at it like, oh man, good thing he's not 100%, because we had trouble with him last time from their perspective. They got good momentum coming into this, coming off a 59-point performance against SMU and then beating Cincinnati, whereas UCF has not played very inspired football the last couple of weeks. But again, if there's anything we know, they get up for these challenges.
And they've passed every single one. Every time they've played in a big game like this year, they've played their best football.
But let's say UCF ends up losing. It's like, well, we should have known the way they played against Navy, the way they let USF back in that game. JRP's dealing with hammies. You know, we took that because we're homers. But I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to take the +4.
That's the annoying thing about UCF. That's why I call it Gus Ball. No matter what the result is, we're going to look at this and go, oh, that makes total sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, they won? They win all of these games that are tough and they get up for. Or if they lose, then it'll be what you said. So either way, we're all going to think we're geniuses.
I feel like I'm going to lose, but I'm taking plus four anyway.
Yeah, and maybe they lose and you still cover, you know? Let that number keep climbing. I'll be all over that. Jags plus one at Detroit. Two teams both playing really well right now. But the Lions hung in there tough on Thanksgiving. The Jags, that miraculous comeback against the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Jags could be overvalued here because of the comeback win, but I also think the public likes betting Detroit. They covered on Thanksgiving, and people really like that sort of thing. People bet Thanksgiving games heavy because they don't want to spend time with their families. Also, Jared Goff, 24-13 against the spread in early kickoff games, so he's got a little bit of Kirk Cousins in him.
Baby
so,
Kirk.
At 1 p.m., Jared Goff is a profitable individual. I'm on the Jacksonville Jaguars because I think that, and this could blow up in my face very easily. I legitimately think that was a turning point game for Trevor Lawrence, and the Jags have, my fingers very close together, have this much more talent than the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, you've been pretty volatile on the Trevor Lawrence thing. I'm really playing the long game with Trevor Lawrence.
You sure are.
I'm not overreacting to a good performance. I'm not overreacting to a less than stellar performance. I think he's got a lot of tools to work with, and I'm waiting for him to put together, multiple weeks in a row so I can kind of start to know exactly what we're getting week to week or even a full season of it. And I think that's coming eventually. But in light of what I just said, I want to take the Jags here. I want them to make a late run at the Titans. It just feels a little too good to be true. You said it, Jared Goff, 1 p.m. indoors. And the Lions are, like, so annoying because they could be good. They're close to even figuring it out. They just haven't been able to get over the hump. So, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamal Williams has been incredible. Need something out of DeAndre Swift. Got a couple guys. That defense is starting to play a little bit better. I just feel like the Lions are, in classic annoying fashion, they're going to make a run at the end of the season when it's too late and just miss the playoffs. Something like that. So, I'm kind of on the lines here.
Both teams 4-7. Both teams playing a very similar brand of football right now where they give up a lot of yards and points, but they have defensive talent on the edge. And their offense, I think so. It's the second highest over-under on the day. Only behind Chiefs-Bengals is Jags-Lions.
And it's weird. I don't know. Like, the way the Lions play is usually always over, but I feel like the Jags will make it not the over.
If the Jags make this game ugly, they're definitely winning. That's how I see this.
I mean, the Lions won a kind of ugly game against the Giants, but I guess they still did put up 30-plus. Yeah, very, very strange. I mean, do we know if ETN's going to play? It sounded like he was healthy enough to go back in the last game.
I think he's going to play.
But because it was a foot, I'm going against him in fantasy.
Who needs him? Michael Hasty was awesome.
Oh, my God. Hasty was incredible. But, yeah, I'll go Lions here, even though I'm, pulling for the Jags.
Okay, so we're both on UCF. I'm on the Jags. Tazi's on the Lions. Dolphins plus four at San Francisco. I already bet this game. I took the Dolphins plus three, so I think you know where I'm going to go with this. Obviously, I'll be on them plus four. Also, this is the most high-profile game the Dolphins have played since I was a child, so there is some homerism here. I am so excited to watch this football game. I'm actually going to a kid's, and it's not my own, so it's more painful.
Oh.
I'm going to a kid's birthday party on Sunday, right in the middle of the 1 o'clock games, and my one rule is I'm back at home for this football game.
Oh yeah, this is a 4 o'clock
game.
It's in.
If I'm at this party longer than that, something has gone terribly wrong.
Oh my god,
that's the way that I view this.
Oh my god, that's.
But Teron Armstead, that injury is definitely a concern. I don't think he's been officially listed as out, but just the way the line is moving, I think that's the reason why is their left tackle not playing, and that's not the team you want to go up against without an all-pro left tackle. So that is a problem. However, this is the reason I like the Dolphins. The 49ers have not faced an offense like this in like a month, and their defense has really come together.
Carried them.
But they've come together against what? The last time the 49ers were at home against an offense as good as the one that Miami will bring to the table, it was against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs put up 44 points on them. So I think there's going to be a little bit of like shock to the system here for the San Francisco 49ers. It could also work the other way because the Dolphins haven't had the toughest schedule either. I just think the Mike McDaniels, he knows what he's getting into with Kyle Shanahan. So
that's what's going to make this so interesting. I mean, the Chiefs, like as good as the numbers say the Finns are and as good as the talent we see, they're not quite as perfectly the way the Chiefs play. Like, it's all on a string, and they've played together, most of their team, for years.
It's a beautiful symphony.
It's a symphony. That's the word I'm looking for. And, like, so the Dolphins still have to keep proving that they're going to get there. And so while the Chiefs are ingrained, the Dolphins are kind of this new thing, and this is a huge game for that offense to develop the confidence that, okay, yeah, we really got this thing rolling. We just put up however many points on a defense like San Francisco that's been, carrying that team. They played the Chargers, did the Niners a couple weeks back on Sunday Night Football, but they were still without Mike Williams. And
they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, so that's a skeleton crew version of the Chargers. They beat up on the Cardinals, but the Cardinals were playing Colt McCoy
in Mexico City.
And let's see, I have the schedule.
And then
here.
Last week they shut out New Orleans, who they haven't been able to get out of their own way. But you still shut them out, and that defense is capable. So what wins out? Will we see like a playoff preview of like, okay, the Finns? It's been a great regular season, but you go up against a defense like that, the way you play kind of changes. Or will it be like, no, we dictate the game because of our offense, and now it's up on Jimmy G and Debo and Kittle and CMC to find a way to score back?
I'd see this game going one of two ways, and either way, I like being on the Dolphins' side. I think either the Dolphins kind of do what the Chiefs did, which is they just put up more points than the 49ers are able to keep up with, and there's a little bit of a blowout where it's in the Dolphins' favor, or the 49ers drag them into the mud, and it's a close game, and I want to be on the side where I'm getting points. And so that's an area where I like it even more as this number keeps going in that direction. Now, obviously, the Dolphins go from +3 to +4. There's somebody out there with a whole lot of money that bets for a living that's taking the 49ers, and I am just going to openly go up against that individual. I will go up against them and hope that I come out on top, because I think more than anything, either way this goes, I think this is going to be a close game between these two teams.
Somebody nuked the 49ers. Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly what happened.
I mean, it's funny. In like our betting lives, there's certain styles of game you see it, and it's like the last time I was in one of these defense versus quote-unquote finesse offense situations, I took Tennessee with the points against Georgia, and it was terrible. I mean, this final score was not indicative of like what that actually was like, and it's weird. I don't want to call Miami finesse. They've been one of the best stories this year. Big McDaniel guy, love what Tua and the playmakers have been able to do, but I feel like I'm just obligated to take the team that leans defense in a situation like this, but I already know Tyreek's going to get me in fantasy. I'm going against him this week. It's going to get weird. I'm going to go San Francisco, but like, would not be surprised if Miami still finds ways to score points.
I think your mentality on that is right, and usually I lean that side also. Usually take in a tight battle, I'll go the defensive side, and usually you come out on top. We always bring up the Seahawks and Broncos Super Bowl. Like, that's the best example.
Right.
Or even Baylor versus Gonzaga in the national title game a couple of years ago.
But as good as the Niners' defense is, I don't think it's imposing the will on an offense that knows itself as well. So I'm like,
I think they're a little overrated, so that's part of it. And it's a regular season game. If this was the Super Bowl, we would cap this differently.
Yeah.
But because it's a regular season game, in the regular season, I think you can put more weight on offense than in the playoffs when things tighten up.
Yeah, this is so interesting because you got McDaniel versus old team. You got Jeff Wilson, who's playing a good brand in Miami against his old team. Meanwhile, the Niners' backfield's like a little shaky right now. I do like Jimmy G and what he's been one of the best stories this year, just being a rock for that offense, even though, once it gets late in the postseason, that's where we have our questions about Jimmy G. But regular season, he's got it. Debo really hasn't been incredible this year, but he's still a weapon. Kittle's getting it going. CMC's been a little injured. Ayuk's good. There's a lot of things to look at in this one.
So which side are you on?
I'm like holding my nose and taking the Niners here, but just thinking about what a statement win it would be for the Finns with the Bills trying to chase them. Oh man, one way or another. I mean, if the Finns win here, the narratives are going to be incredible for us to talk about forward. So I'll
we'll
go
be
with
talking
the
about Tua as a. We'll probably be talking about Tua as an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
So Bucks minus -4 against the New Orleans Saints. This one's in Tampa. The under is definitely in play in this one. Let me pull up the total here. Make sure I get this right. Is 40.5. So they've already set the line so that, you know, they're begging you to take the over here, or they're begging you to take the over. But this is the stat that I found: Bucks unders are 9-2 this season.
Oh.
And so the Bucks offense is pretty bad, and the Saints just scored 0 points in San Francisco with multiple opportunities in the red zone. So we're looking at a real stinker here. This one could very easily end like 16-12.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm definitely going to wait to put any sort of chips down because it's Monday night, and usually I just kind of, there's so much to analyze on Sunday. I usually just leave Monday off to the side and treat it like its own thing.
Right.
Because then
it's
a
new week.
Yeah, exactly. So I won't be doing anything on this, but my gut tells me Saints plus +4 is probably the right side here.
I feel like I've been pretty good with the Bucks this year, and I like this spot for them. It's funny because they've been so solid in the Brady era the last 2 years, but the one team they've dealt with that's given them trouble is the Saints. And now that they're this real ugly version of Tom Brady Bucks ball, it just feels like the Saints are a good matchup for them because all they do is play ugly, and they're ready to play that style of ball, whereas the last couple of years they were like stifled by that defense. Now they're like, they get in their own way. So I don't know if that's like a good enough reason to take them, but I have no faith in what the Saints are able to do. So I don't know. I'm envisioning the Bucks limping to win that division and then still maybe causing some people to be scared in the postseason with Tom Brady just getting in. So give me the Bucks.
So according to ActionNetwork.com, the betting splits for this, 60% of the betting tickets are on the Saints. 83% of the money bet on this game is on the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I cannot stand what the Saints have shown this year, and I just feel like as ugly as it's been for the Bucks, I don't think they're as bad as people kind of feel like they are, even though there's not a whole lot to go on that makes me confident. It's just Tom and that Bucks team, they're better than New Orleans to me.
Go to bed and take the under. That's a go to bed and take the under game.
I think the Bucks will be all right in that game. I think that'll actually be a game where they convince people, like, we're not that bad. We're going to get Rashawn White's definitely going to score. I'm going against him fantasy. Godwin's getting in, and I feel like all three of those guys are getting in. It's going to be a solid performance for the Bucks.